call to order the City Council Successor Agency Stanton Housing Authority Joint Regular Meeting, June 14th at 6 p.m. Roll call, Council Agency Authority Member Taylor is here. Council Agency Authority Member Van is here. Council Agency Authority Member Warren is here. Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez is excused. Mayor Chairman Chauver is here. Public comment on closed session items. Hearing none, seeing none, public comment is closed. City Council proceeded to closed session at 6 p.m. to discuss conference of real property negotiator, property at 1062 Beach. Negotiating parties, yeah. City manager, owner of our property 106. Negotiation, instructions to negotiator will concern price in terms of. Council is now proceeding with closed session once again at 6 p.m.
Okay, I'm going to call to order our regular Stanton City Council meeting of June the 14th. We were in closed session. We're now back out. Madam Attorney, do we have anything to report out of closed session?
Thank you, and Mayor, Council, there's nothing to report out.
Thank you. Can we have roll call, please?
Mr. Mayor, Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez is excused. Mayor Chairman Chauver?
Here. Okay, if we'd all join in the pledge. Okay, Chief Walters, your first official duty, you can lead us in the pledge tonight. Thank you, Chief. Okay, we do not have any presentations or awards tonight, so now we'll move on to the consent calendar. All items can be taken in a single motion unless staff or the public or council would like to pull anything. Is there any correspondence from the public?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Anybody want to pull anything?
Okay. I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
A motion by Councilmember Warren, a second by Councilmember Van. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Mayor Chauver?
Yes.
All items on the consent calendar do pass.
Wow. Pretty sneaky. Okay, we're at the end of our consent calendar, so we're going to go to public hearings. At this time, anybody from the public can address the City Council on any items within our jurisdiction, but no action can be taken on those items at this time. Do we have anybody that wishes to speak?
No, Mr. Mayor, we have no public hearing items this evening.
Okay, is there anyone who would like to address the council at this time? Hearing none, close public hearing. Okay, we're now on unfinished business, item 11A. This is our fiscal report.
It'll be Ms. Bannigan.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. Tonight, we are here for the adoption of the fiscal year 22-23 operating and capital budget. And as part of that annual budget adoption, there are a few other resolutions that the City Council adopts and approves at the same time. I want to first give you some follow-up information from our budget study session that was held on May 24th. The proposed budget for adoption tonight, it does not include the Bell Street parking lot project. It does not include the citywide compensation and classification study. It does not include funding for an economic development study for the property we are referring to as Bauman's Market. What it does include, per direction from that study session, is an 8% cost of living increase to our salary schedule. It includes one-time general fund expenditures of $442,340. We will refresh your memory shortly about what that involves. And lastly, It includes additional funding of $84,090 coming from our discretionary capital projects fund and our park and loop fees fund for our Stanton Park adult fitness equipment project. Just to give a little bit of history before I give it over to the Public Works Director, City Engineer, to explain what this additional funding was for. The City Council last fall approved approximately $128,000 from ARPA funds to purchase some adult fitness equipment that it will be installed at Stanton Park. There are additional costs related to that project that need to be incurred in order for that equipment to be installed. That equipment is currently in our Public Works corporate yard. So let me pass it over to Mr. Eames.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Yes, the additional funding is for the installation of a new concrete pad upon which to place the equipment, install the equipment, and also for labor to assemble the equipment. It's basically a best guess at what the cost will be. There's also a cost in there related to installing a mural that I understand has been requested for on the backside of the adult equipment wall that will be installed. The equipment includes, I believe, a TRX station, so there needs to be a vertical wall installed for ropes. On the backside of the wall, there was a request to do a mural, so that money is supposed to cover the cost of the installation of the equipment, concrete pad, and any associated costs with the installation of a mural.
Would the mural be facing Norm Ross, or would it be facing the sheriff's
side? The mural could, the back wall could face nearly any direction. I don't think we've come up with a direction on which way the equipment will orient itself. I would advocate that the wall be perpendicular to the drive aisle, so that way you can see on both sides of it and nobody can hide on the other side of the wall. That would be my recommendation.
And then just to wrap up this slide from our follow-up, the City Council asked staff to reach out to the City of Garden Grove to determine if they would provide financial support related to the beautification project that is planned along westbound Chapman between Santa Rosalia and Santa Paula Streets. Mr. Ames has reached out to the city, and as of tonight's presentation, we do not have any feedback from the city on that. So the proposed budget assumes that the City of Stanton is funding that full cost from our developer contributions, the public benefit fees that we've collected so far, as we discussed on May 24th. And then finally, attachment B, pages one and two, includes some modified wordings to a couple of the parks projects that council asked for additional clarification on. So we've modified the project description to beef up the descriptions and to accommodate that request. So moving back to our presentation, the one-time general fund expenditures that are included in the budget we're asking you to adopt tonight include these items here: the skip loader, repairs to our HVAC system, the parking study, some new software, and finally, the Greening Stanton project, where the previously mentioned westbound Chapman project, and then in year two, another project. This slide gives you the general fund overview. It compares what the proposed general fund revenues over expenses were in the proposed budget on May 24th, and those numbers included if you didn't improve any of the one-time expenditure requests, and then what the revenues over expenditures are tonight in the proposed budget. So you can see that before our one-time expenditures, our revenues exceed expenditures in the general fund by $687,235, and then after the one-time expenditures, that number is netted to $244,895. And again, this slide just compares what the fund balance of the general fund is expected to be June 30th, 2023, comparing the numbers with what we reported to you on May 24th, assuming you didn't approve any of the one-time expenditures, and what we are bringing back tonight with the one-time expenditures that were approved. You will see that our just total general fund balance is expected to be $26.3 million. And the discretionary part of that is $23.1 million, the first bold number. That number is 81% of our general fund operating expenses. And then I highlighted the numbers in the first column to segregate, well, what's the percentage of the available fund balance after we set aside the numbers that are in our reserve policy? And that number, the $10.2 million number, is 36%. And if you adopt the budget we have tonight, our available fund balance is expected to be $9.3 million by the end of next year, which would be 32% of our general fund operating expenditures. That is the general fund proposed budget being sought for adoption tonight. Before I move on to the next section of the presentation, are there any questions from the council?
Yes, could you show us, or at least I'm interested in where we are with our UAL?
With our UAL, yes. I don't have a slide for that, but I will pull up a spreadsheet on my computer right now to let you know what our recent valuation report shows. I will tell you we do have an additional payment of $50,000 in the 22-23 budget being funded, and that was in the original proposed budget that was provided on the May 24th budget study session. And based on the June 30th, 2020 actuarial report, our UAL I'm going to have to provide that to you after this meeting because the spreadsheet my staff prepared just shows what our regular payment is for next year, but not what the total UAL liability is. But I can provide those actuarial valuation reports to you after this meeting, if that's okay. But we do have an additional payment beyond what CalPERS is asking us to pay next year, as that is a City Council priority to set us to be paying that actively every year, going above and beyond. And next year it is $50,000.
We get a certain amount of money if we pay it early too, right? Is it 5%?
Yes, we do get a discount, and if we pay the full fiscal year 22-23 contribution by July 15th, and that is accounted for in the budget. So in the budget, we are planning to make the full payment by July 15th, and we will get a discount for that.
And do you know if we're at like 75%? Does that ring a bell with you? Or are we at 80%? Where are we, do you know?
Can I say we're between 75 and 80%? And then I could provide you that information in our actuarial report. Okay. And I will say that the June 30, 2021 actuarial report is scheduled to be released by CalPERS by August of this year. So we'll have more updated information. But the budget, but the report we use for our 22-23 contributions is the June 30, 2021 report. And there's four different plans of cities, and each report's 30 pages, so I just don't want the audience to have to sit and have me scroll through 30 pages times four. But I'm happy to provide all these to you guys with a chart. If that's
the reason I ask that is because if you pay down too much and then you have a change in the amount of money you're getting on interest and several other factors, it's like you pour it into an empty hole and it goes away. So
A lot of times you want to keep it at around 80%. That's usually, or maybe even 85, depending on what Michelle decides we need to do so that we can protect our funding at that particular point. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have what are the actuary numbers on where are we with interest or, you know, investments right now, you know? Is it 7?
Yes, right now. 7. They keep threatening to reduce it to 6.75, and they review that every fall. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Michelle. Okay, so...
Oh, I'm still going, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
This was just the commercial break now. The other so that was the general fund. The other items we're asking you to approve along with the budget is amendments to our position classification manual. If you recall from our study session, one of the employee classifications was for the code enforcement parking control manager position. So this resolution and attachment F would be adding that job classification to the city's manual. Then attachment E is our employee benefits and salary schedule for next fiscal year. There are no changes to employee benefits next year. However, the salary schedule is updated to reflect the 8% COLA. Attachment G is the appropriations limit. This is something that's required by the California State Constitution for the City Council to adopt every single year. And it limits the amount of appropriations a city can appropriate from its tax-related revenue. Just so you know, the city of Stanton is way below the limit. Our limit for fiscal year 22-23 is around $73.6 million, and the budgeted expenditure citywide for being funded from various taxes is only about $25.5 million. Then we have the city reserve policy. Our policy requires the city council to review this policy every year to determine whether we want to make any changes to it. That is at attachment H. Staff is not recommending any changes to the reserve policy for the next fiscal year. Our reserves appear to be sufficient for our needs. Attachment I, again, the city's investment policy requires the council review the policy every single year. We currently do not have any recommendations to our investment policy for next year. However, I do reserve the right to come back in a few months and bring changes once Chandler Asset Management has a chance to review the city's investment policy. That's the contract you just approved earlier this evening to outsource our investment management services to them. They are going to review that policy, and if they may have recommendations or changes to the policy. If they do, we'll bring that back to you at a later time. And then finally, fiscal year 22-23 is the fifth and final year of our five-year contract with the County of Orange for law enforcement services. So we are recommending that the council authorize our interim city manager to execute that amendment. The annual cost for our contract next year is $13.3 million. That is the same number that we reported to you at our study session on the 24th. It has not changed. And that completes my presentation. These are just the recommendations of the items I just talked about. So with that, we can answer any questions or proceed.
I did mention this privately before, but I wanted to confirm that for attachment to the employee benefits and salary schedule, page 8, they would be changing the language from part-time positions from years of service and months of service for the, vacation time accrued?
Yes, Ms. Van, so that is correct. The change has already been made.
Oh, great.
Since it's a clerical change, there's no need, we're not modifying the resolution in any other way.
Got it. Thank
you. Able to do that, and then it's noted here, and then what will be signed will be changed.
Alice, thank you for that. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so we're going to take, on this recommended action, there are 9 things that we need to do. So we'll take them all at the same time, if you're okay with that. So I'm going to need a motion to take care of recommended actions 1 through 9.
I'll move that.
Okay, roll call, please.
I have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Warren. I'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes.
Item 9, items 1 through 9 pass.
Okay, we're now on 12 new business, and there's new business will be 12A. It's that noisy time of the year. We're going to be selecting our fireworks licensees for 2022. If you'll recall, the reason why we do this is because a lot of our charity groups, this is their major fundraiser of the year. And we also know that it's better to have safe and sane fireworks than the craziness that's out on the streets in every city. So we hope that people will be able to enjoy the 4th of July safely. I also remind the public that the maximum fine now is, I think, $1,000 if you are doing something illegal, and that will be strictly enforced on the 4th of July. But we also are going to do very good in putting out a program of education so that people know what the hazards are, what the dangers are, and then what the penalty is if you do it. And I think a lot of it will be pretty much on how we reach out to the public. We also have identified in the past the actual addresses of people that can't seem to conform to the law. And we will be having visits to those areas on the 4th of July. And, you know, when you write maybe $15,000 or $20,000 tickets, maybe somebody will get the point. The bottom line is that not only are they unsafe because they explode, which could cause bodily injury, but they also cause fires. And it's been a very dry season. So our fire department will be working in conjunction with our sheriff's department to protect the public. But in the meantime, we wish our groups that are selling fireworks the very best, because we know it's a lot of laborious work, but the reward hopefully will be enough to pay for your programs that we have out there. Yes, go ahead.
To follow up on your comment about, you know, writing a lot of tickets will discourage illegal fireworks from taking place. And I don't know if Mr. Wren has this data. Do you know how many tickets were written last year and how much money were fined?
Members of Council, last year, actually, if you recall, we had a well-staffed evening for the 4th of July. However, on the sheriff's side, there was a critical incident that occurred in the evening. There was a shooting that involved multiple individuals. So there was a fine game plan in place that was not executed, essentially due to the conditions out there. So I believe a couple citations were issued in advance of the 4th of July. We did execute our public information campaign, and that is scheduled for the next few weeks. That includes door hangers to high-profile areas. So essentially, we've had some success there, but as far as actual enforcement on the day, last year was a tough situation for the sheriffs to be able to issue any citations.
And is it only the sheriffs that are able to issue citations on the 4th of July, or is our code enforcement guy also able to do that?
That is correct. So it is only the sheriff's department. They do need to, and not speaking for Captain Walters, but my understanding of it is that they need to actually see the event take place. And then also, similar to the rest of our situation related to code enforcement, we need the sheriff's folks to be able to compel individuals to provide identification. So that's not something that we can do or any of my guys can do.
Yeah, one of the things that we might want to consider before the 4th is that we can, they're hard to get, but you can hire overtime deputies. And those deputies can be paid by the forfeitures or fines that they're able to bring in. If our chief sees that maybe we can do something like that and there's an availability of personnel, we might be able to fund those extra officers with the fines and forfeitures that we get. Although we don't get all the money, we do get a portion of the money. Yes, Gary.
Can I ask our esteemed Boys and Girls Club executives a couple questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Can I introduce, if you're okay, Mayor and council members,
Keith Gifford,
to give our report? Keith Gifford, to give the report, yes.
Okay. We'd be happy
sorry
to have our,
that.
No,
sorry.
We'd be happy to have our
well, you know, we never see him very much in a tie, so it's hard to recognize him.
No, my wife said the same thing before I left the house tonight. I like you in a tie. So thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. Tonight before you, we have the selection of the 2022 fireworks permits. This year, we have two applications for consideration, one from the Youth Assistance Foundation of Stanton and the other from Boys and Girls Club of Stanton. In accordance with SMC Section 1704050, staff has determined both groups are eligible organizations for a fireworks license. Both groups have submitted all required paperwork, fees, and have demonstrated they have adequate insurance coverage and prepared statements describing how their organization benefits the community. Moreover, fireworks licenses are exempt from CEQA requirements. Staff recommends awarding a fireworks sales license to both groups. At this time, I'll refer back to City Council for open discussion, vote on the matter, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Hey, Gary.
Do you have numbers on how much money each group made last year, or would that be just them?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but roughly it's around $5,000-$6,000 in through there.
Three or, times that amount, I believe.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look in the file, but I didn't bring that information.
Pam, how much?
Wait, I'm missing it.
Pam, how much did you guys make last year? Do you remember?
You mean net profit?
Yes.
That's good work. We did, if I remember correctly, donate $250,000 to your building fund drive too. I mean, that's, I know, apples and oranges, apples and oranges, never mind. But that's good work, and I was outvoted on this before, so not a problem. I'm just trying to get the numbers. How about St. Polycarp? Do we know how much they are?
No, the other group was the Youth Assistance Foundation.
I'm sorry, I'm reading something different.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
4 years now.
I got you.
Elvin and I were buddies.
I understand.
Yes, I'm the treasurer.
And how much was that?
We did about $20,000.
For $20,000 for one and $20,000 for the other? For boys and girls club?
We netted about $15,000.
Okay, $20,000 and $15,000. Okay. That's significant money. Won't deny that.
Well, the reason, too, you're probably wondering why we only have two applicants when we have seven licenses. Because there's no fireworks. We're going to be the same shortage that we had last year. There, what used to cost $3,000 for a cargo of fireworks now costs $15,000 to $20,000 to have it shipped.
Wow.
And a lot of it, you know how the port is, it's really bad. So the 49ers, it used to be $49.95, are now $90 if you want it. Oh, is it more than that? I forgot they tack on an extra $10 for their group. Yeah, it's going up. Keith, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it and seeing all you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Right here. Councilmember Warren, motion. Second, Councilmember Vann. I will now actually, this only needs a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, licenses have been granted.
Item 12B, this is the St. Polycarp Catholic Church requesting the city co-sponsor the St. Polycarp Family Festival. I'll go ahead and comment on that. For years, we've had the festival at St. Polycarp. Most of us have attended it over the years. And much like the in the past history of the auto show or the, what do they call it, the auto, what John puts that on. It's called the auto
car show.
Where the city really doesn't cost us anything. We just go in and sponsor it because it's a great community event. The other good news is by doing this, that we're able to get the Garden Grove Showmobile, which is really safe for the community to use for the cultural entertainment that's going to be there. So that being said, I would like a motion. I'll make the motion to move item 12B.
I'll second.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, you want to call roll?
A motion by Mayor Shaver, a second by Councilmember Warren. All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing none, item passes.
Okay, we're moving on to item 12C. This is an interim urgency ordinance for the city of Stanton establishing a temporary moratorium on specified personal service and medical offices pending a study and the preparation and update of the city's municipal code and zoning code to determine if the ordinance to be exempt from CEQA. Go ahead, Jim.
Members of council, before you this evening, we have a temporary moratorium, a period of 1 year, on personal care uses that includes day spas, acupuncture, acupressure, and other types of beauty establishments. The moratorium will allow city staff to study the issue moving forward while temporarily prohibiting new establishments. In the past few months, Orange County Sheriff's Department operations have identified illicit activity occurring at 2 day spas in the city. Both of these day spas have been ordered to cease operations.
Two.
The city has, so we're recommending it this time. It's actually, how we got here is interesting. We've had so much success on the massage establishment side. We're at one point, we're at 37, we were holding at 9. We were able to implement the distancing requirement, which has been pretty successful. A couple of the establishments in town kind of essentially went around that activity and opened day spas, which are legal, but were conducting illicit activity. Sheriff's Department did a great job of identifying that and proceeding to take the appropriate steps there. So the city has successfully utilized moratoriums in the past related to massage to study public safety issues. So staff recommends approving this ordinance, and I'm available for any additional questions.
So you mentioned that distancing requirements allowed us to go from 37 to 9. Do you know the distance requirement is?
It's 500 feet.
500 feet, and it doesn't include day spas, only massage.
It doesn't, so just to be there were other elements that allowed us to go from 37 to 9, not just the 500 feet. Essentially, the 500-foot distancing requirement has allowed us to stay at that level. And then we do include day spas as far as the steps we took. We essentially created a web of counting the day spas and the massage establishments and put them into an overlay with the areas in which they were permitted, and has allowed us to prevent the proliferation of additional massage establishments. So it's been a really good step.
So the 500 feet includes day spas and massage establishments?
It does.
Okay. So given that distance requirement, it's unlikely that you're able to have a new establishment due to distance, right?
I would say unlikely is accurate. There are some areas based on zoning and then the distancing where they could establish or create an establishment. Our study of those areas is that they are large enough in nature that it doesn't necessarily fit the same footprint that is typically employed by massage establishments, so that's a good thing. Some of the locations on Beach Boulevard, the businesses are too big and wouldn't be fiscally sound for massage establishments to operate in that. So there are a couple areas where they may be able to pop in, but I'm confident that we'll keep it roughly. The whole idea behind it was to keep it in that low teen, 9, 10, 12 area.
So you're saying there's 9 massage establishments. How many day spas do we have?
We're currently, with the two that are in the process of no longer being with us, that would bring it down to 4. So that the existing day spas, we don't mean to imply that there's illicit activity at all of those. They've all checked out. Obviously, it's the Sheriff's Department has been diligent in making sure that that remains the case. So with the city attorney, we took this step essentially based on the success of the previous moratoriums that were employed during the massage establishment study.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it the Sheriff's Department that found these issues during one of their routine visits?
That is correct. We actually make a point on, if you want to call it my shop, the Department of Public Safety, we have no knowledge of when the sheriffs are conducting activity. Obviously, the best way to have that is just to make sure that that remains private. So we essentially, when it comes to the actual undercover situations, we have no knowledge of that, and then we find that after the fact. My understanding is that they were out and did a good job and noticed that some of the establishments were operating outside of typical operation hours and used that as a jumping off point and were able to issue citations and arrests based on their work over the period of a few months. So we essentially found out about it after the fact, which is by design. I don't want any of my guys, and I don't want to know where they're going to hit, just from an information standpoint. We don't want that out there.
Do your guys have responsibility or authority to check these places out and see if they are following the rules, the conditional use permits, things like that? And if so, how often do they do that? And approximately how many times do they find citations?
So one of the good things about having, quote unquote, a reasonable number of massage establishments in town is that I do have a specific code enforcement officer assigned to them, and he has been charged with visiting every establishment every 2 months, which is a pretty, in that world, is pretty regular. From our end, if you take the illegal activity out of it, from our end, they're all licensed. The individuals there have the appropriate state certification. The places are clean. So there's nothing. They essentially all check out on our end, and we're not in the position to conduct any undercover operation or anything. So what they were issued citations for would be purely from the Sheriff's Department.
This goes back a ways, but when I was on the Planning Commission, Kelly and some other people used to go out and inspect the massage establishments. And what used to be found pretty regularly were like used condoms, either on the floor or around the chairs and things like that. The windows being tinted where they're not supposed to be. Places unviewable from when you come in, you're supposed to be able to view the whole place. Does the team still do that sort of thing?
So that is part of our typical inspections. As far as the window coverage on signage, that is an endeavor we look to address across the city and throughout the summer. Liquor stores, massage parlors, things of that nature to ensure that there's not total window coverage by signage. But as far as our inspections, I would like to think that despite these two day spas essentially popping up and getting in trouble, the massage establishments that we have cleaned up. A lot of the ones that are no longer in the city are the ones that had those violations. So,
when your guys check, I don't know what the right term is, but improper attire, is that checked? Are condoms on the floor and in the areas checked? Viewing, is that checked? Making sure they're licensed, is all that checked?
Correct. So obviously any sex paraphernalia on the floor, anything that would be cataloged and part of a citation process, that isn't something that we have observed over the past couple years.
Wow.
Like I said, we're down to a handful of places that I think they have, to a degree, understood that they have a little bit more value, and the good part is they saw how many establishments were closed, so I think they're behaving a little better. As far as complaints from neighboring businesses, we really haven't had any in quite some time. So I'd like to think, obviously, we are not in a position to determine what occurs behind closed doors, but as far as the individuals being licensed and them essentially being good neighbors, we're in a pretty good place with that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
One quick point that I can add, it's 45 days for the moratorium that's being asked of today, so that the team can study and update anything necessary.
We can extend it though. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Carol.
Jim, when we were addressing this one that was such a problem, didn't we increase our ordinance to where somebody had infractions of this, that I can't remember how many times, that when it came time to get rid of their CUP and start nudging them out of the city based on how many infractions they had?
Correct. So there is a revocation process that can be started. Prior to my involvement, there is a couple different options. There is a couple establishments that had a violation and participated in a tolling agreement which essentially served as two strikes, and they, you know, essentially a two-year probation, which there were no violations during that time period. But any violations that we had that we could pursue could potentially lead to revocation.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, this is item 12C. There are two things we need to recommend for adoption, and I'll make the motion.
By Mayor Shaver, is second by Councilmember Vann. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Vann?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Thank you.
Oh, item passes.
Okay, we're going to see if anyone would like to address us from the audience at this time. Okay, is there any written communications?
I have none.
Thank you. Close that. Written communications, we have none. Mayor, council, initiated business. Carol.
Earlier this year, the city participated in an energy audit. And I would love it if the results of that audit could be presented to council.
Okay. Gary?
Nope, I'm good.
Ellis? Okay, I have a couple of items. The first one is I'd like to agendize for our next city council meeting the topic of shopping carts in the city of Stanton. As you know, I'd like to take a look at the process of how we're going to be handling that, because in our municipal code we have certain restrictions and compliance. Also, I like to look at the compliance of the individuals that may have a shopping cart. As an example, I like to take a look at the process if they have that cart without the permission of the owner. So that would be number one. Number two, I like to review and update, which I think we're going to be doing anyway, but just want to make sure it gets on the agenda, our cannabis ordinance as we have it. Not only for our benefit, but also for the benefit of the city, the residents that may be affected, our businesses. Okay? Carol mentioned that to me, and so I think that would be a really good thing to do. Yes?
Could we get an update on the businesses, whether they're opening or which ones are opening and things like that?
You know, I think it's going to be very thorough, okay, because earlier today I asked the question, well, where are they located? Where are they in the process? What areas are they going to be affecting? I've been getting a lot of calls myself personally from business owners and some residents inquiry to where we are with it. And so I think for us to be able to answer those questions, it's good that we have an update. And
Councilman Ramirez has been asking because he really wants to use them a lot.
Carol came up with a really good idea at an earlier meeting that I had with her, and that was that we need to get this out on our social media and get it out on our website so that people have a way to go to find out what's going on in this area. We've been really quiet and silent about this for too long. It's like I don't even know the address of one place where a building's going. So I think it's good that we find that out so that we can be well informed. But I think it's more important that the public is well informed, because there's a lot of people that have different feelings on the operation of that.
Okay,
thank you. Those were my only two. Does anybody else want to? Okay, great. Okay, we'll now move on to committee reports. Did you talk about your art show already? Or is that right? Okay, good. You want to talk about anything?
okay with that?
We'll do it down further. Okay, good. Okay. Any more committee, any committee reports?
Anybody want to talk about Habitat for Humanity event?
Yeah, I think you should, Carol. Or, you know what? I forgot. Alice gave the award out. Go ahead, Alice.
Yeah.
So this past Saturday, I believe the four of us were at the Habitat for Humanity Vegetation Ceremony, as well as some city staff and Walters. So it was a great event. We had six families receive homes and also a free card, which was a pleasant surprise. And I was very pleased to learn that of those six families, two are from Stanton.
That's great.
Thank you for making that happen.
Thanks to Alice on that. She made that very important when we were talking about this at the beginning. So great job, Alice.
Thanks to everybody for promoting it. I don't think I did.
They mentioned that you were part of the reason why they made sure to do their best to get at least a couple of Stanton families in there. I was talking to the lady that's the CEO.
That's because she's a homegirl.
What?
Okay, any other announcements? Okay, we'll now move on to council agency items for a future meeting. Okay. Did I miss something? You're much better than Jared, thank you. Items from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Items from our illustrious city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. No items tonight.
Okay. Before we have our Orange County Fire Authority report, I want to publicly introduce our new chief of police. It is Captain Charles Walters. Captain, you want to come up and just say a couple of words? Welcome to Stanton, and then you're going to get your official pin from Alice, okay? Then you'll really be official.
Very excited to be here today. It's my first meeting. I've been here a total of, I think, 5 days. There's a lot of good things happening. I think the communication part is going to be, I think, fantastic. I look forward to working with each and every one of you. Like I said, this is a is going to be, I think, a fun job. And I think, again, there's a lot of positive things coming our way. I know with the summertime coming, the city of Stanton will be, there's a lot of things happening here. But I can tell you, on behalf of Sheriff Don Barnes, we will do our very best to make sure the city is safe. We will enforce the law. And, like I said, I think there's some, some good people to work with here. And like I said, I think fun part for us is the fire authority. And we work very well together on these events like this. I know our partnership is going to be just fine. Thank you guys very much. I'm very, very excited to be here today. Very fun on Saturday. I was shocked. Just to see the community, I think the support of everything. And like I said, I'm going to do my very best to make, my office, and the sheriff's department the very best. So thank you very much.
Anyway, Chief, thank you. Welcome to Stanton. We are very pleased that you're here, and we are looking forward to working with you any way that we can. And I will know that our community is going to be safe. Thank you. And now my equally favorite public safety people. We'll now go to the OCFA. Chief Dolman, please.
Thank you, Mayor Shaver. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council members, and city staff. It's my pleasure to provide the OCFA report to you for the operational period of May of 2022. In the month of May of 2022, there were a total of 355 incidents within the city and a total of 41 incidents within Stanton Unincorporated. During that time, there was one major incident, and that involved a overdose at the Walmart on 12840 Beach Boulevard, where a male subject overdosed in the men's bathroom, and when crews responded, they found a large amount of white powder on the floor which they suspected to be fentanyl. So that incident required the calling of upgrading that incident to a what we call a chemical inside, which you get a full hazardous materials response. Additional units, Orange County Sheriff's Department were also engaged, and it involved evacuating the entire store, neutralizing that chemical, and deeming that the store safe to allow personnel to go back in that store to reopen. At that incident, there were two patients transported to the hospital. One was the initial patient that overdosed, and there was one Orange County firefighter that had some exposure of fentanyl powder on his skin, so he was transported to the hospital as well, but was evaluated and released that day with no ill effects, so I'm happy to report that. Additionally, as far in the month of May, there's two community events that our nurse educators participated in. One was on May 12th for the disaster emergency prep presentation at Stanton Park. And on May 31st, in partnership with the Orange County Sheriff's Department and our personnel from Fire Station 46, there was a little boy that had his bike stolen. And I believe it was the Orange County Sheriff's deputies that took initial action on that. It is a little Spider-Man bike, and they found out this was a loved treasure of this little boy. So between the Orange County Sheriff's Department and the Orange County Fire Authority, bike was the identical bike was purchased and issued at the fire station. They had the boy over in the Orange County Sheriff's Department. We issued him a brand new bike, and he got to take a bunch of photos with deputies and firefighters. Additionally, on June 8th, we just had 15 of our 21 firefighters successfully pass the captain's promotion process, and they'll be taking the floor here on June 17th, with three of those new fire captains being assigned to Division 7, Battalion 8, which would be working in this area in part of Stanton. For the month of May, we're going to continue on with our safety, on the month of May, we had our safety messaging focusing on water safety, Ready, Set, Go, and then the upcoming fireworks safety programs. On July 1st, speaking of the fireworks that we were speaking of earlier, July 1st, the fire prevention field offices will be inspecting the two booths here in Stanton, and both of those booths will be open for sale on July 1st, starting at 12 o'clock, selling fireworks through the 4th of July. Some additional upcoming events here in June. On June 17th and 18th, the OCFA were very pleased to bring back the annual Muscular Dystrophy Association Fill the Boot campaign. That's going to be taking place on Friday and Saturday at the intersection of Catella and Knott on the border of Cypress and Stanton. And we'll have crews present on both those dates from 10 to 2 o'clock collecting donations from the public as they're at the red lights. On June 25th and 26th, we are going to be hosting our third annual Girls Empowerment Camp. This was supposed to happen earlier in the month, but if you remember, we had to postpone it due to the coastal fire and the impacts of that. So this camp is open to girls and boys age 14 to 18, and it's an opportunity to induce them to the fire service through hands-on experience working with OCFA firefighters and professional staff. Lastly, on July 1st, Friday, July 1st, we'll be hosting our Academy 55 graduation for our newest class of firefighter paramedics. That will be hitting the floor effective July 2nd. So we're looking forward to those increased numbers in staffing to assist with some of the staffing issues we've had amongst the ranks of firefighter paramedics. That concludes my report for the Orange County Fire Authority. I'm available to any questions.
How are we on our drone proofing? I know we've got the video out. Have we done any outreach through our community recreation department here at all yet?
For the drowning?
Right.
Yes, we have. Okay. And in fact, this Thursday we're going to be at the water park here. We're going to have a little community education event as well regarding water safety and drown prevention.
Okay, and then that can also be disseminated over at Dotson Water Park too, probably.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Yep. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Any questions? Okay.
Just a great job on the bicycle. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much you were aware of it, but I know it was brought on by the Sheriff's Department when they took the initial crime report.
That is super. That is really cool.
Okay, anything? Is there any other business before the council from staff? You guys, anything?
Could I ask the chief? It's been a while. I'm not exactly sure why, but we haven't had stats on the crime rates for, like, I don't know what months you've got now, but I haven't heard the first quarter. I don't believe.
You know, most of that's put out annually by the FBI.
No, don't we get every 3 months, don't we get some kind of update on whether our crime's going up or down? Am I wrong?
Follow
on
up
that?
On that. We can get some information to get out.
Okay.
Yeah, usually they don't we get ours from the FBI also?
Yes, sir, we do.
Yeah, that's so we usually have to wait for the
and
FBI.
Isn't the FBI just once a year?
Yes, they are.
And they're a year behind.
We can look at the 3 months. Like I said, as soon as I get back to my office, I'll work with the city manager and we can try to get some
past,
numbers.
I think we used to get it, and then there was some kind of disconnect. Because it's just when the pandemic first hit, the crime rate went way up. And then I'm just wondering now whether if we're starting to see a level off or maybe it's going down a little bit. Just information.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, I'm going to adjourn to our next regular scheduled meeting. Everybody have a great week.
Night.